This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com. Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, I have someone you've all been waiting to hear from. Gina Bianchini is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Ning. Ning is a very hot company. They create a platform for creating your own social network on any subject that you love. They're having amazing success, and I, after months of being very patient with Gina's schedule, actually got an opportunity to talk to her on the show today.
The way we look at virality or viral expansion is the ability for a social network, in this particular case, to propagate itself. I would say one of the key success factors of a social network is a strong network creator. We look at it from the perspective of, is this an active, valuable network to the people who belong to it? And that's really our definition of success of a network. It hits a certain point where, and it's, you know, somewhere between 250,000 and, you know, 60 million, where it's such a generic experience, or it's just so big that it's overwhelming, that people, you know, want to find something that is smaller and a little bit more manageable. We, generally speaking, you know, are not looking to create a walled garden. We're really looking to create something that is as valuable to people and certainly as possible, and certainly evolves over time.
Welcome, Gina.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. I know how busy you are. And so I just want to let our listeners know a little bit about your background. People are very aware, I'm sure, of Ning and the fact that you're the CEO. You were just on the cover of Fast Company with a terrific article, a hell of a puff piece. I love that. But before that, you've been in the business for a long time. You were the co-founder of another company, the president of Harmonic Communications, which was acquired by Dentsu. And you also worked at CKS Group. So back in the day at CKS and Goldman Sachs, and you got your BA and MBA from Stanford. So I just wanted to, before we got into Ning, understand what Harmonic Communications was.
Sure. We provided advertising agencies and large advertisers and marketers a way to track, measure, and optimize their advertising and marketing spend. We started the company in March of 2000, which was probably not the optimal time to start a marketing and advertising optimization company. And we ultimately sold it to Dentsu, and it was a fantastic experience.
Well, absolutely. Anytime you're an entrepreneur in the down years, it's a really good opportunity. And what kind of positions did you have at CKS, which is an ad agency and web development and interactive media organization?
I ran corporate development. So I ran all the acquisitions, equity investments, new business unit development for CKS.
So you worked for Mark?
I worked for Mark.
Mark Kwame. Absolutely. Terrific. Know him well and for many years. So that's good. So you really have a very deeply grounded background in corporate development, entrepreneurial work, and in the advertising world.
Yes, advertising and finance.
That's a good combination because that all goes together. So normally on this show, I have a lot of questions for you. And what happened yesterday was that I thought, you know, so many people are so interested in what you're doing right now. You're really white hot. That I Twittered and I said, hey, I'm interviewing Gina tomorrow. Does anybody have a question that they want me to ask her? And I popped it up onto my LinkedIn answers page as well. Well, I got, I would say, somewhere between probably 35 and 50 questions. I didn't count them up. But in 24 hours, my inbox was flooded with questions.
Wow.
So Dishy Mix listeners have an agenda, Gina, and we're going to honor that today.
Wonderful.
So I am pushing my questions aside in the hopes that we'll be able to satisfy my audience and the questions they have, because they were excellent questions. I mean, it's a very sophisticated audience. It is the intersection of advertising and technology. So I'm going to start with that. And some of the things we're going to talk about today are attracting members to social networks. People were very interested in that. Of course, viral expansion loops. What it's like to be a high-tech hottie, because there were a lot of questions about that. Social media monetization, which was big, big, big category. And in general, things like hip hop is us. So some of the social networks themselves. So let's start with our first question. The very first thing that I want to ask you. So Benny Thomas from TBW Shy at Day, a great agency, wants to know your definition of the viral expansion loop. And we'll start with that. And then he actually has another question about revenue.
Sure. So, you know, the way we look at virality or viral expansion is the ability for a social network, in this particular case, to propagate itself. So but basically by its creation and a small group of people using it, and then they go out to their networks, bring people in, those networks bring out and bring other people in, and it just continues and propagates itself.
So what's the rule of thumb on that? What do you see in aggregate across all of your networks? So let's just talk about generation one, person number one. I join a network like Beachwalks TV has a Ning-based implementation. I represent Beachwalks, which is a video show, a daily video show. They have a Ning implementation called The Reef. I join that. What's my rule of thumb as someone who's doing a social network implementation? How many people will I bring in? And then how many people will they bring in? And over what period of time?
So it absolutely depends on the network, but generally speaking, I would say one of the key success factors of a social network is a strong network creator. So if you even look back to, you know, Tom Anderson and Krista Wolf at MySpace or Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook, it starts with one person. And, you know, a social network can get very, very big all by the initial work of one individual. And so, you know, that is certainly something that we've seen, that a network creator, that's the term we use certainly in the context of Ning, comes in, creates a network, invites their initial group, really sort of works the small group to find the right content, find the right sort of voice, the right brand, and then from there, you know, blow it out. And in terms of a rule of thumb on numbers, it really does depend on the network. So we have, you know, very large networks, relatively small networks, and, you know, everything in between.
So what's large to you?
So large today on the Ning platform is over 150,000 people.
So I would imagine that in those larger networks, in the over 100,000 person network, what are you seeing is the typical viral expansion loop? Generation one person, how many additional people are they typically bringing in that scenario?
In the context of 150,000 or above?
Yeah, or 100,000 and above, yeah.
Sure. So at that point, there really needs to be something that people are organizing around. So there's something called the Dunbar effect, which is over 150 people. People can't necessarily, there's no longer a natural organizational mechanism. And so networks under 150 people tend to be able to just expand very naturally. Over 150,000, it's typically around something. So in our case, on Ning, there's a social network for 50 Cent, and he has a very sort of strong brand, strong purpose for being there, and then that drives the additional growth.
Okay. I was looking at some of the popular networks on the site today. I mentioned Hip Hop Is Us, Hash Space, a drinking club with a running problem. Of course, Powerful Intentions, the Law of Attraction. Barry Manilow, My Manilow Network. Go Mighty Eagles from the Willow Ridge High School in Houston, Texas. It's a really nice range of people that are developing. How many unique social networks that have at least 50 people are on Ning today?
So over 70% of our networks are active, and that's sort of the metric that we use, and that means that they've been used in the last 30 days alone. So we don't look at it as networks over 50 people or networks over 12 people. We look at it from the perspective of, is this an active, valuable network to the people who belong to it? And that's really our definition of success of a network.
So Todd Taskey, who's with Potomac Business Capital, he asked, what are the most interesting and successful networks doing to attract members? You said the first thing is a strong network creator. What are some of the other rules for creating a successful network?
You know, it's the number one thing we see across networks in terms of their success is authenticity. And it sounds weird, but it's not. It fundamentally is really hard to BS your way to a successful social network. People want to see passion and share that passion with other people who are passionate about that particular topic. So from our perspective, the thing that we sort of see across the board is someone comes to Ning, creates a really unique social network for the things that they care about in the way that they care about it. So one of the things that is probably a controversial statement, but I really don't believe in sort of vertical websites of the golf.com variety as a really key way that people want to organize and communicate in the context of social networks. And the reason for that is that the way people actually organize organically from the ground up, at least from what we've seen across the 260,000 social networks on Ning, is really pretty unique. Like, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense that somebody wants to have the Southwest Arizona Cactus Heads, you know, social network for golf fanatics. But that's the way people want to organize. They want their own choices in their own unique organic ways. So authenticity is by far one of the most important things that we've seen in successful social networks. The other things are all sort of the regular, you know, the regular blocking and tackling of creating a great experience, namely a nice brand, a very nice looking social network, compelling content, interesting people, people who are active on the network in the sense that they have, you know, uploaded photos and they've contributed profile answers, and it's just vibrant and active and alive.
So we're going to take a break, but one more question before we go. And thank you for that. It's interesting, too, that you led with authenticity, because my guest next week is Joe Pine, the co-author of a book called Authenticity.
That's great.
It's a big buzzword in the world of marketing today. So we're going to talk more about how you actually can be authentic. What is the litmus test for authenticity? So we'll build on that next week.
Wonderful.
So Debbie Richman at Clarity wants to know if there are any natural limits for social networks. You mentioned the Dunbar effect. Mm-hmm. What other limits are there, or is it simply unlimited?
I don't think it's unlimited. And I think that one of the things that you see when a MySpace or a Facebook get to 2 to 3% of total internet traffic is they start to sort of flatten out, in part because at a certain point in time, you're not a member of an exclusive club. It's sort of a general one-size-fits-all experience. And what people want on some level, and at least we've seen this in the data that we have across networks, is as long as it's something that they feel like they are a part of something unique, it continues to grow. And it hits a certain point where, and it's, you know, it's somewhere between 250,000 and, you know, 60 million, where it's such a generic experience, or it's just so big that it's overwhelming, that people, you know, want to find something that is smaller and a little bit more manageable. So, you know, I was speaking with someone, and they described it as, you know, do you want to go to an event stadium concert every single night, or occasionally you want to go to the great event stadium concert, but you also want to mix it up with, you know, some small dinner parties or a larger party, or, you know, just getting together with friends for dinner. And it's all of those different experiences that, you know, I certainly believe that social networks can accommodate online when people have the freedom to create their own social networks for anything.
So we're going to go to a break, but one of the things I wanted to let you know that is in all these questions that I got from Dishy Mix listeners, so many people were giving you kudos and saying wonderful things. For example, Jay Barclay of EJ Design wrote, Gina has been incredibly supportive for Ning developers and often answers her phone at 2 a.m. She's very inspiring.
That makes my day.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of love for you in all these. I'll make sure that you get all the questions, because people were, in general, actually across the board, unbelievably happy with you, with the support of the company. They'd love you. So it's always really nice to have that great feedback in addition to the questions.
It's wonderful and it's humbling. So thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, you're in service to them and they can tell. So we're going to take a break. And just before we do, I want to remind you to take my listener survey. If you're listening today, I would love to know more about you. It's anonymous. It takes less than 5 minutes. And you can go to the Dishy Mix blog at dishymix.com. And you can see an ad on the left column that says listener survey. Just click on that and take a second and help me out, because that helps me, of course, support my sponsors of my show. And speaking of sponsors, we're going to go to a commercial break and you're going to hear who supports Dishy Mix right now.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living at personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. I'm with Gina Bianchini, the founder and CEO of Ning, the hottest growing social network platform in the industry. And I want to let you know that Gina has given us some goodies for Dishy Mix listeners. I have a Dishy Mix Facebook fan club. And if you're part of my fan club, you can just go on Facebook, search for Dishy Mix, and join as a fan. And all you get is goodies. Goodness, goodies, freebies, and love. And today, Gina's providing the goodies and the love by giving me an assortment of Ning tchotchkes and paraphernalia. So all you need to do is join the Facebook fan club for Dishy Mix, post a comment of any kind, and you may be selected to win a t-shirt, a mug, or some kind of fun Ning swag. So Gina, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to get to some more questions. The first one, now we're going to go into monetization strategies. So the first one is from Tim Fondrick. He's with Outstanding Basketball. And what he says is he'd like for you to talk about different monetization strategies for niche social networks. Are you at Ning going to be offering the opportunity for paid membership or different levels of membership in the future?
We absolutely plan to do that. Today, we don't have that in place, although you can actually set it up because you have full control over your network and you can program it to do anything you want. So creating a private network, adding a PayPal integration, and you're off to the races, although that's probably easier said than done for the vast majority of people. But yes, we are absolutely planning on adding, you know, the option to roll out subscriptions, the option for paid membership of a network, and a number of other things that we're planning on doing that will not only help our network creators generate money from their social networks, but certainly will make for a much more enhanced experience on the social networks on Ning as well.
So is there a blog or a newsletter or anything for developers where people can go to find out what the product roadmap will be?
So we actually post on the Ning blog.
Okay, Ning blog.
Which is blog.ning.com. We also have a network creator social network. We're eating our own dog food.
And oh, good.
About 11,000, 12,000 people on our network creators at networkcreators.ning.com. And so those are places where we preview upcoming features, changes that we're making, things along those lines in both of those spots. So
good.
We will keep you posted there.
That's helpful, both those avenues. So, and Tim says overall he loves the Ning platform. It's very powerful and he can't wait to see where it's going.
Oh, that's great.
So let's move on to Eric Moore from Where's Your World. He wants to know, when your website traffic became interesting for advertisers, how big did you have to be before you could really start monetizing the traffic?
That's a great question. So we actually just run Google AdSense today across the free service. So the way Ning works is that you can come and create a social network in, you know, less than a minute for free on our platform. For the free networks, we reserve the right to run ads. And today we're using Google AdSense to run ads. You also, as a network creator on Ning, have the option to take ads off or alternatively replace our ads with your own ads. So that way you can either run your own Google AdSense, have your own ad network or own banner ads that you're running, or even, you know, sell a sponsorship for your social network and allow a sponsor to take over the support and branding of your particular network.
How many uniques are you getting on a monthly basis across the freebie stuff?
Sure. So we actually don't put that number out publicly as a private company. We play things relatively close to the vest, but we do talk about sort of the numbers that we have of social networks and active social networks, and that's, you know, close to 260,000 today, and over 70% of those are active.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, you gave me some numbers. I'll take that. I understand. So Gideon Roberts from /Marketing, who actually won a autographed copy of Seth Godin's book, Meatball Sunday, which if you haven't read is excellent. He's a Dishy Mix fan club winner. I know. It's a community. He wants to know, maybe I need to do a Ning implementation. he wants to know what you think about Facebook's attitude to user data and advertising. And what would you do differently?
Sure. So, you know, I don't have strong opinions with respect to what Facebook does or doesn't do. I personally, and what we have set up with Ning is a different model, which is when you create a social network on Ning, they are as much your members as they are registered on the Ning platform. So for any member that you have on your network, you have the ability to contact them, export a CSV file of their contact information and anything else that they provide you, because you have the option of creating and customizing your own profile questions. So they are your members. It is your network. And then in terms of, as a member, being able to manage your friends and messages and all sorts of things along those lines, you know, we're big believers in anybody being able to take that information, certainly off Ning, and go somewhere else with it. Obviously, the standards are really just starting to evolve around how that, you know, interchange would happen. But we, generally speaking, you know, are not looking to create a walled garden. We're really looking to create something that is valuable to people and certainly as possible and certainly evolves over time.
So this is my last business-oriented question, and then I want to get into some more questions just about Gina. There were a lot of people who wrote in and wanted to know about you. So Stephen Comfort from Yumi, I know him from Tickle, and David Reamer, most recently of Yahoo, two industry stalwarts, asked a very similar question. Stephen wanted to know what the broad price range was for white-labeled business versions of Ning, and if there's any additional integration needed for business customers to access the whole Ning world, which I think is a very loaded question. And then David Reamer really dovetailed that. He wanted to know how much traction do you expect to get in the business community, and if that's a focus at all. So really, it's about what's your service to the business world,
sure.
And can anybody get access to the whole database?
On your network, whether you're a individual or a company, your network data is fully accessible to you. So you have access to all of your member data, you have access to all of your content, you can back it up elsewhere, you can pull it into whatever it is you want to pull it into, the open APIs that we offer. So, you know, we've really taken the approach of let's build the absolute best social networking application that we possibly can, with as much freedom as we can enable. And then if individuals want to use it, fantastic. If companies want to use it, that's great too. And so one of the things that certainly has folks scratching their heads a little bit about us is we do offer a pretty compelling product that is very, very flexible and hopefully, you know, gives people the options to make it exactly what they want. So we don't sort of look at the enterprise market as being something that is fundamentally different than the market for individuals creating their own social networks for anything. And as a result of that, you know, a company could come, you know, so for example, we have seen a social network for IBM pop up. We've seen a social network for Saturn customers pop up, and they're using it the same way individuals are using it and having a pretty good experience with that. So that's kind of our approach to white labeling. I would not call us a full white label where we do, you know, absolute custom integration for companies. That's not exactly our model, but there's certainly people that, you know, are doing great customizations using the Ning technology and the Ning platform.
Who would be? If someone wanted to get someone to customize it for their enterprise solution, who would you recommend?
Oh, there's a number of people that have been doing things, and I'm happy to provide that list.
Do you want to provide it to me, and I'll post it on the Dishy Mix blog so
that
anybody interested, you don't have to go through it now, I'll just post it on the blog.
That would be great.
That's what we do a lot. We use the blog as a parking lot for incremental information.
Great.
So, all right, let's move on to, we've got just a few remaining minutes with you, and I want to talk about personal stuff. So Tom Bedecare of AKQA, you and I both know him. He said, Susan, I'd ask Gina about her own experience networking in business. You and Gina are both expert networkers, and I think it's interesting that Gina has turned her expertise into a company creating social networks. From Stanford GSB to Sequoia Capital to Silicon Valley icons like Mark Andreessen, Gina knows how to use her network to further her career and her business.
You know, it's funny. I don't consider myself an expert networker by any stretch of the imagination. And in fact, I feel like, you know, my main focus is really on what can we do as a company to create not only the absolute best software that we can put out there and something that we can be incredibly proud of, but, you know, I can't imagine spending my time doing anything other than really making sure that this is a great place to work at Ning, that the people who are using the Ning platform and creating their own social networks have the best experience with interacting with us and the best software. And, you know, that's really been what's taken up the vast majority of my time. So it's, while flattering, I feel like I never leave my office and spend most of my day, you know, huddled in a corner looking at software.
Well, you recently got married in December, and one of the things you told me that you liked the best about being married was that it was relaxing. Is it that when you get home, you can just relax into your husband?
Yeah, he's wonderful, and I'm very happy.
So the time that you have with him, you just let it go, and you're just being.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I love about my husband. I'm super high energy. He's like a deep sigh, like a deep breath out for me just to be with him. It's so nice. So Mirek Polniak wants to know if you can cook.
I can.
Good for you. What's your best thing? Italian
chicken,
food.
Actually, chicken fajitas.
Chicken fajitas. Now, aren't you a sweet Italian girl?
I am.
I supposed to hear like cannelloni?
I also make my own pasta. I can do that as well.
That's good. But chicken fajitas. So what's the secret?
The right marinade.
Uh-huh. And what is it?
I can't tell you my secret recipe.
Not only must you tell me, but I want the recipe for the Dishy Mix blog. And are you going to give it to me?
I would be happy to.
There you go. All right. See, I blog recipes all the time. You're a smart and gorgeous woman. And, you know, the valley wag, the hottie, all those things. You will have a lot of that in your life. People will want to talk about that. It's like, how could there possibly be someone who's so damn smart, so damn successful, and drop dead gorgeous? How are you dealing with all that?
I don't really think about it all that much.
Yeah.
in my daily life, most people know me as somebody who is pretty understated. And, you know, again, my focus is on building the best software we possibly can and enabling people to do what they want with Ning and really giving them the freedom to create. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters to me.
I'm sensitive to your time and my listeners' time, and I've had a really, really fun half hour. And thanks for supporting the Dishy Mix listeners and in letting them ask you questions. It was a fun format for me, and I had all my questions planned, and then I got so many. I need a whole nother show with you, Gina.
Wonderful. Well, I really appreciate you thinking of us and thinking of me and taking the time.
Absolutely. So we will post up the opportunity for the Ning goodies for all of you listeners. For any of you who would like to send transcripts of the show to your friends who don't listen to podcasts or online audio shows, there are transcripts at personallifemedia.com. And I would love for you to forward this show to a friend. We're always trying to grow our audience. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And thank you for listening to Gina Bianchini today at Ning. And I hope I'll talk to you next week. Have a great day. Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.